Let's look tonight in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And when you get there, I want to look in, I'll look at verse number 7 tonight and read a few verses here, the next passage, next section, and give you what the Lord's put on our heart tonight out of this passage. And so if you look with me in Romans chapter 11, verse number 7, he says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway." I'm going to end off reading there, and I'm going to give you some thoughts out of this passage here. This is kind of the next section and line here in Romans. And what we have seen in this chapter here already, of course, again, these are parenthetical chapters, chapter 9, 10, 11, dealing with the nation of Israel, chapter 9, dealing with their past, chapter 10, dealing with their present, and chapter 11, dealing with their future. And we've seen so far that in the first six verses here in this chapter, we see that the Jewish remnant is blessed by God, that God is not done with Israel, not cast them away, as he said in verse 11, you know, that hypothetical almost question that he asked, you know, if God cast away his people, and of course the response is God forbid, because there is a remnant, and that remnant has been blessed, is blessed by God. And so you're always blessed in being part of the remnant, amen? You'd rather be a part of the remnant than not, amen? And so the remnant, the Jewish remnant that does remain, they are not many, and they were not many in Paul's day, and they're not many now, but there is a Jewish remnant that has been saved and is serving God, and that remnant has been very blessed by God. And the fact of God blessing the nation in leaving them a remnant, in allowing a remnant, just that in itself shows that he's not done with Israel. And the fact that some are still getting saved, God is still calling them to salvation and calling them to himself. And so that alone shows that God's not done with Israel. And Paul used himself as an illustration there that, you know, I myself am a Jew, you know, of a tribe of Benjamin. And so he uses himself as the example that, you know, I'm a Jew and I'm saved. And so there is a remnant, and that remnant is blessed by God. And what we find next in these next verses, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, that we see that the rest of the Jews, however, have been blinded by God. And so the remnant is blessed by God, and then the rest are blinded by God. And that's really what we see here in these verses. He talks about God blinding their eyes. In verse number 7, the rest were blinded. And so we've got the remnant that's blessed and the rest that's blinded. And so we've heard about the remnant here, verses 1 through 6. He talks about the remnant. We've heard about that. But, you know, what about the rest of them? What's going on with the rest of Israel? And if God hasn't cast away his people, then what's going on with them presently? What is God doing in Israel and in within the nation among the Jews? What is God doing now? And see, these are the questions that are answered in this section here. This is what he's going to do with it. What is God presently doing? If he's not cast them away and there is a small remnant, well, what's going on with the rest of them? What is God doing now? And the answer is given very clearly and very pointedly here. And it deals, the answer deals with their blindness. Israel is blinded. So the question is, what's God doing in Israel? If there's a remnant and the rest, what's going on with the rest? Well, the rest are being blinded by God. That's where Israel is right now. Israel as a whole, the nation of Israel as a whole, has been blinded by God. And this situation that Israel was in Paul's day and is currently still in right now, this same dispensation, this situation was prophesied multiple times, actually. But one is over in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse number 19. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. But he said in Ezekiel 11, verse number 19, the prophet prophesied and said, God said, through him I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. In other words, God prophesying about what He's going to do in regards to taking out the stony heart. And that's where Israel is right now. They've got a heart of stone because of their blindness. A few chapters later, in chapter 36 of Ezekiel, in verse number 26, it says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And so spiritually speaking, Israel has got a heart of stone. They have a stony heart, a calloused heart towards God, and they are blind towards God. Now, I want to say this in regards to this blindness that has come to Israel. It is God that is doing the blinding. All right? God is blinding them. However, it is not due to some indiscriminate selection by God that He has chosen to blind them. God did not just indiscriminately say, well, I'm going to choose Israel and I'm going to blind them just for the fun of it. That's not what God's doing. We've found that's not what God does in the gospel. That's not what God does with man's eternity. And that's not what God is doing with Israel either. God is the one blinding them, but God is not indiscriminately selecting to blind them. He's doing it within His will, and He's doing it as their response to God. It is their response to God that has caused their blindness. Okay? And so that's the point that needs to be made here, is that their response is what has caused their blindness. Now, it was prophesied and it was foretold, and just like in verse number 2, God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. Foreknowing has to do with knowing something beforehand. God knew this would happen beforehand, therefore He sent prophets to prophesy of what He knew. And so He knew it was going to happen, but it's all happened because of their rejection to God. You understand what I'm saying? And so they are blind, and they're blind because God is blinding them, but God is blinding them because of their response to Him, how they chose to respond. So looking at this, what we find out how Israel becomes blind. And for us, the message to us, even though this isn't to us, it is for us, the message and what you can see and what anybody else would read this and see is how to become blind to spiritual things. And that's what I want to preach to you. If I was going to title the message tonight, that's what I would title this message: how to become blind. And that's what we find as we look at Israel's situation, where they are at in this passage. We find the way that they became blind, and this is the same way that you can become blind to spiritual things too. And so how to become blind. Israel's blindness is related really to two things that are dealt with here, and I'm going to give them to you and then we'll be done. But the first one here is in verse number 7. Look at what he says. He says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So their blindness is directly connected to them not finding something that they've been looking for. They've been searching but not finding. Well, they've sought for something they've not found, and that thing that they have sought for and not found is what has caused their blindness. That's what it's connected to. So what is that thing? What have they been seeking for that they're not finding? We'll turn back to chapter 9 and look in verse number 31. He's alluding back to what he's dealt with already, what he's talked about some already. And in verse number 31 of chapter 9, he says, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Chapter 10, verse 2, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And so the first thing that is dealt with that is related to their blindness and why God has blinded them, it is related to the righteousness of God. Israel has sought righteousness, but they have not found it because they've sought after righteousness and failed to obtain it. And the reason they have failed to obtain it is because they haven't searched for it and haven't gone about it God's way. And I tell you, the real problem in it, the real problem for Israel and the real problem for a lot of people is that they've sought righteousness, but they hadn't sought it God's way, therefore they hadn't obtained it. But the real problem is that they've obtained it in their eyes, but not in God's eyes. And that's the real problem. And that's where Israel is at, and that's where a lot of lost sinners are at. That's where a lot of people are at here in the Bible Belt. They have sought some form of righteousness. Their flesh has convinced them that they are a pretty good person. Therefore, they're righteous in their own eyes, but they're not righteous in God's eyes. See, man's flesh, humanity's fallen flesh, will tell him that because he's done a good deed, he's good and he's righteous. Because he's, you know, paid somebody's bill, or he's helped some stray dog, or he's done this, that, or the other. He's not doing as bad as somebody else. Things like that. That is righteousness to a man's own eyes. But it's not righteousness in God's eyes. And that really is the real problem with Israel. And that's the problem with all fallen humanity. Listen, how to get blind? How do you want to be blind? If you want to be blind and be totally blind and in darkness concerning the things of God, you just go about to establish your own righteousness and you will soon find yourself blinded towards spiritual things. That's what Israel has found out. God has blinded them, but He didn't blind them indiscriminately and just flip a coin and decide to blind them. No, He blinded them because they got righteous in their own eyes, but not in His eyes. They would not do it His way. And there's a lot of people out there that, you know, you try to explain biblical truths and spiritual truths, and you really cannot get them to see it. And I've had even people tell me, and you probably have too, they say, you know, you show them a verse of Scripture or something like that, and they'll say, well, I just can't see that. I just don't see that. Or I don't see it that way. And you know, the truth is, I believe them. I believe they're telling the truth. Because there's a lot of people, they don't see it because God has blinded them. But God has blinded them because they're so righteous in their own eyes. They've embraced their own righteousness. And no doubt the Holy Spirit's striving in their heart to, you know, and using the Word of God. But because they won't receive it and they're righteous in their own eyes, they are blind to spiritual things. Listen, the way up is down in the economy of God. That's still the way it is. That's for saved people too. Amen. Listen, if you want more light from God, if you want to be closer to God, you got to see your true unrighteousness as you really are. I've said it many times. Listen, the closer to God you get, the farther from God you see that you are. The more perfect you get, the more imperfect you see that you are. The more righteous you really get, the more unrighteous you see that you really are. Amen? And so Israel's problem is that they went about seeking their own righteousness, their own way in their good deeds and their good works and their religion and keeping the law and all those things. And they've got puffed up. They themselves as righteous. They're on this level. The Gentiles are on this level, right? I mean, they're above everybody else, looking down their pious nose at the rest of the world and all the Gentile dogs around them. And so in their eyes, they are righteous, but they're not righteous in God's eyes. And they're a lot farther from God than they really see that they are. And so everything they've done to obtain righteousness, they've done on their own without God. And if you want to be blinded concerning the things of God, you just try to do it yourself. Amen. And so because they've done it their own without God, therefore they've become hardened towards Him. They've rejected what He's had to say and rejected His working in their life and in their nation. And so therefore they've become hardened toward Him, and only a remnant has received true righteousness by grace through faith in the Messiah that God gave them. Only a remnant has done that, because the rest of them just can't see their need for it. They rejected God's Messiah. He was not what they were looking for. He wasn't the king they were looking for. He was not what they were looking for. And so they rejected everything God gave them. They said, we'll do it our way. We'll provide our own righteousness. And so therefore, God has blinded them. Now again, God is the one that does the blinding, but it's always as a result to man's response to God. Amen. And so Israel's blindness is related to the righteousness of God. But then it's also related, number two, and it's dealt with right here, to their rejection of God. That's verse 8 through 10. Now, God will receive all who receive Him. Isn't that right? If a man, woman, boy, or girl would receive God and receive His truth and receive His Word, then He would receive him. He would in no wise cast them out. He would not turn them away. If you would receive Him, He will receive you. On the flip side, though, of that same thing, He also will reject everyone that rejects Him. See, if a man rejects God, God will also actively reject him too. As a matter of fact, that's what's happening in this country. This country and this society has so long rejected God that I believe God is beginning to reject us, reject this country. Amen. That does happen. So God will receive whoever receives Him, but He'll also reject whoever rejects Him. He will judge all who will not judge themselves and come to Christ. If you won't judge yourself, His holiness and His righteousness will judge you. But if you will judge yourself and come to Christ based on judging yourself, you can find mercy. You can find grace. But if a man, woman, boy, or girl will refuse that, then God will judge them. Amen. And so there, this is really where Israel as a nation is right now. Because they cried out, let His blood be upon us, and upon our children, our children's children. You know, we will not have this man to reign over us and all those things. You know, because they rejected Christ as their Messiah. They rejected God. He is God. And so they rejected God, therefore their disobedience has brought on God's judgment to them and their nation. And God is still a God of judgment. And God does still judge disobedience. God still does judge sin. And it will be judged in your life, my life, anybody's life that would not judge themselves and come to Him for mercy. Listen, talk about harboring sin in your life. He said that man will not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. regardeth sin in his heart. That's it. And so if we would judge ourselves and confess and forsake and come to God for mercy, you will find it. But if we will regard it in our heart and hang on to it, God's going to judge it. He's going to judge it. That's exactly right. And so their disobedience has brought forth God's judgment. Look in verse number 8. What we have here in verse 8 is a parenthetical statement. In other words, verse 7 through and verse 7 and then the end of verse 7, verse 8 could be read without the parenthetical statement there. Okay? Just to clarify it, let's read it without it. It says in verse 7, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded unto this day." All right? Grammatically, that is the sentence. That is the statement. They've been blinded unto this day. Now, the parenthetical statement there, that is interjected for clarification, to go on and explain it a little bit deeper, to explain specifically that blinded part. And he explains it by alluding back to Jewish and Old Testament prophecies regarding that blindness. Look at what he says. He says, "According as it is written." That's the most important thing in the world. What is written? That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees when they questioned him. "Have ye not read?" That's the most important. What is written in the Bible? What does God say in the Bible? And that's what he does here. He goes back to the Bible. "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear." And so their disobedience has brought that on because of their response, their rejection to God. Slumbered, ears that won't hear, and blindness. And so what this blindness is, it is a fulfilled prophecy of what God knew was going to happen to Israel. He talked about in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 10, Isaiah prophesied and said, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered." That is, the people themselves were blinded and could not see and could not hear. But then the seers, that is the prophets, those that were actually giving them the Word of God, they weren't even hearing from God. Listen, don't think for a second that what we are seeing in our society today with the coldness and the spiritual deadness and just the spiritual blindness and the spiritual dullness among society today, don't think for a second that that is not spiritual and has not come from God. God, I believe with all my heart, is doing it. But He's not doing it. He's doing it because of man's response to Him. He's not indiscriminately sending folks to hell. Listen, he's not willing that anyone should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to save everybody. But somebody will reject Him so much to where God will finally reject that person. And I believe that is what is happening. Amen. I mean, how else could you explain the spiritual apathy of our day? Listen, it's not in man's mind. It's in man's heart. Amen. Listen, you cannot get people to care about spiritual things. You realize that? I mean, I think we ought to still go, and we are still going. We're still going to jail. We're still preaching, and Lord willing, we're going to plan on continuing to knock doors and tag doors and go to the street and all those things. Whenever the time, you know, is right for it and all those things, we're going to continue to go and continue to reach out, and I think we ought to. That's what we're here for. That's why God put us here. But listen, at the end of the day, if God does not open a man's heart and mind and allow him to receive it, he will not receive it. And you know, I didn't think it could get any worse than what it was in the early and even the mid-2000s. But here we are in 2022, and I've never seen a day like today. And I know I ain't been around as long as some of you have. But I mean, just even hearing preachers talk that have pastored through the years and things like today, I asked one man here not long ago that's been pastoring the same church for close to 30 years now, and I asked him, I said, brother, are things really different? Because I think that to myself sometimes, like, are we just copping out? Like, are things really different today, or is this really the way it's always been? And we just make it up to be worse in our own mind, you know? I think if we're not careful, we do that sometimes. And so I asked him, I said, brother, are things really different? Different now than the way they used to be? Or is it really, I mean, if we're just being honest, has it really always kind of been this way? We're just kind of making it out to be worse because it's what we're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? He said, brother, see, I'm telling you right now, I have never seen a day and seen a generation like what we're seeing, where people just do not care and you can't get them to care. You can't, listen, man, there was a time people would be scared of going to hell. They may not have wanted to get saved, and they may not have ever got saved, but they were at least, you could at least deal with them about their eternity, and they would at least be concerned. And people are unconcerned now. I have talked to people about their soul, about their condition, about their eternity, about the hell they are going to, and have them tell me to my face, I just really don't even think about that stuff. And I believe them. I believe them. Because see, if God doesn't cause a man to think about those things, he won't think about them. I heard Brother Jamie say this before, and I think it's true, that grace in its simplest form is simply just a man thinking about things that he would not think about if God didn't cause him to think about them. And I really do believe that is the grace of God. And see, we're losing that in this society. And it's a result of God blinding man because of his rejection of God. That's where Israel is at. And see, what happened to Israel was, especially, specifically, if you go back and read that passage in Isaiah 29, what you'll find is that Israel at that time, they did not want to see or hear what God offered. Therefore, God obliged them. He made it to where they could not see or hear what God offered. That's exactly right. And a lot of people will get to that place. That, listen, God is giving them so much light, and He'll deal with them, and He's offering Himself to them. He's offering salvation to them, offering the gospel to them. He's offering preachers and Bibles and Holy Spirit and churches. He's offering Himself. He's making Himself known to people. But listen, some are going to let it rock on for so long, and they're going to reject and turn away from so long, where finally, they're going to turn their ear away enough where God's finally going to oblige them, and He's going to make it where you can't hear. Where you wouldn't hear if you wanted to. The thing is, though, you won't want to. That's exactly right. Pharaoh hardened his heart, hardened his heart, hardened his heart. Finally, God obliged him and hardened it for him. The same thing still happens. So Isaiah gave a witness of that. And he gave a witness regarding their dullness, the dullness of their ears, their inability to hear from God. But then David also gave a witness of it in prophecy. You know, David was a prophet. Look back in Psalm chapter 69. I do want to show you this verse. And I'm just about done here, but I want you to see this verse. David spoke of this in Psalm chapter 69. And if you will look with me in Psalm chapter 69 and verse number 2. Now this is the verse that is quoted in Romans chapter 11. I still hear some pages turned, so I'm going to give you a second. It's page 827 in the Rock of Ages Study Bible. Psalm chapter 69, verse number 22. If you dare, say amen. All right. He said, let their table become a snare before them. And that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. David said that the table would become a snare to them. That table, that speaks of a place of fellowship, a place of blessing, a place of enjoyment. He said a place of welfare. He said, let that become a snare to them. And whenever you look at Israel, where they are at now, that is exactly what has happened. All the law that God gave them and the dispensing of them, Himself to them and making Himself known to them and calling out Abraham, all that God has given them blessed. Listen, God has set the table for them. A place of blessing and enjoyment and fellowship and welfare, to be a blessing to them, to sustain them and be everything they ever needed. And yet they've taken that very thing and made it a snare. You say, how have they done that? Well, they've taken that table, they've taken the law and all those things that God gave them, and they've worshipped it more than they do the God of it. And it's become a snare. What should be a blessing, what should be a help, what should be a place of fellowship, what should be a place of enjoyment, is now the very thing that hangs them up and keeps them from being saved. And it's a result of their rejection of Him, their rejection of doing it God's way. So having rejected God, they now receive the judgment of God. So how do you become blind? You say, well, if I was going to become blind to spiritual things, how am I going to do it? Well, if you're going to become blind, first of all, seek righteousness your own way. And then number two, you just reject the light that God's given you. Try to become righteous your own way and then reject the light that God's given you. And it won't be long before God will oblige you. You will be blind spiritually. Listen, don't think for a second that your eternity and your spiritual well-being is in your own hands. A lot of people make that mistake. That you know, I will think my way through this, and I'll do it when I'm ready. Listen, your spiritual well-being is not in your hands. It is in God's hands. And what He has offered to any of us in making Himself known and all these things, listen, that is grace, and you better respond to it, because if you turn your ear long enough, God will make it where you can't hear anymore. You'll turn your ear from God the last time. There will be a last time before you'll never be able to turn your ear back again. I told a man at the jail that just last night. We had a man hang around afterwards, and it seemed like every night, every week we're there, he hangs around, and he talks about what a blessing it is and how every time he comes, he said, brother, you're just, you know, he says, you're on point. That's what he tells him. You're on point, brother. God, it just, He gives me just what I need, you know. And I just tell him, brother, just praise the Lord. And this is what I told him last night. I said, brother, just praise the Lord, because it is not me. It is God doing that for you. God is making Himself known to you. He's using the preaching of His Word to manifest Himself to you. And so I said, be very careful to make sure you respond to that. Because for God to make Himself known to any of us, that is undeserved and unearned. Amen. And if God doesn't do it, it will not happen. It ain't going to happen. And that's what Israel has found out. They have been set to the side for a time, and blindness in part has come to them for a time because of the way they have rejected God. Listen, this isn't as much about how God's treated them, mistreating them. It's not at all about how God's mistreating them, because God's not mistreating them and blinding them. It's about how they've mistreated God. They've mistreated God and they've rejected God, therefore God has rejected them. And the same thing happens among Gentiles too. The same thing's happening in this age too. People better be careful. So how are you going to become blind? Reject the light God's giving you. See, not everyone receives the same amount of light. I mean, we have to be honest about that. I mean, that's a reality. Everyone sitting here tonight has received more light from God in the form of Bible preaching, church attendance, Bible teaching, you know, hearing God-called preachers and all those things. Everyone sitting here tonight has received more light than most of humanity will ever receive in a lifetime. You realize that? And that's a lot to be accountable for. Because the majority of humanity in 6,000 years of human history has lived without a Bible and without a preacher and, you know, lived without a lot of things that we live in. And they're all over the world tonight. You think about all those millions in communist China and North Korea and all these places where Bibles are outlawed and they don't, you know, I mean, missionaries are going in, I understand, but it's not like it is here where there's a church on every corner. And so, you just have to be honest. I mean, out in the jungles and remote areas, not everybody's received the same amount of light. And see, the dispensing of light, that's God's business. God does what, we don't question that. God dispenses the light, and how much He dispenses to who is His business. But what we have to realize is that any amount any of us receive, or anybody receives, much or little, is undeserved, and it's grace. And so, not everyone receives the same amount of light, but regardless of how much light anybody receives or doesn't receive, no one has to be in the dark. Anyone that would receive the light that God has given them, they will not be in the dark. God will see to it that they receive more light. I want you to turn over to John chapter 3, and we'll read a few verses here in John, and we're going to close. John chapter 3. And look in verse number 19. John chapter 3 and verse number 19. I've mentioned this verse many times. A lot of us could probably quote it. But he says in John 3 verse 19, this is the condemnation. Well, what's the condemnation? What? In other words, this is the very thing that is going to condemn fallen man. When man stands before God to give an account, this will be the thing that condemns him. What's going to be that thing? He says that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. How are you going to become blind? How does a person become blind to spiritual things? Well, according to the way it's happened to Israel, they would seek their own righteousness outside of God, seek their own righteousness instead of God's righteousness. And they would reject the light that God has given them. And that's the way anybody could become blind concerning spiritual things. And it will happen. It will happen. And it does happen. It is happening. And so this is certainly talking primarily, because the theme of Romans is the gospel, dealing primarily with the saved and the lost. But you know, the application for even saved people is that if you want to grow and get farther than where you've still got to be obedient to all the light that God gives you. It's from faith to faith, from precept to precept. And a lot of people are stuck right where they are spiritually, not getting any further down the road with God. They're saved, but they're stuck and they're not growing because they're not being obedient to the light that God has given them right now. Amen. And even as saved people, if we would reject the light and be disobedient, that judgment will still come. It may not be hell, but it'll be chastisement. Isn't that right? And so that is how to become blind. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it. And I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to learn more of you and know more of you. And I pray that if there'd be one here tonight that is lost, Lord, that they would not, Lord, allow themselves, where they not get to the place where they would be blinded. Lord, I pray that they would respond to you, and Lord, that they would respond to your word. Lord, that they could be saved, that they could, Lord, experience and have all the blessings, Lord, that you would desire to give them. Lord, the blessing of being saved, the blessing of fellowship. Saved, that you would help us, Lord, to be more like you. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be obedient to the things you are calling us to right now. Lord, help us, God, to continue to grow and be what you want us to be. And we'll thank you for what you do in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.